Today I'm going to be able to summarize a few of John Luddy's contributions to the soil physics community, and I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation, Grant Cardin and Clinton Williams. These were both PhD students of John's, and Gary Fang, who is a former postdoc of John. Now, John's family actually came from Italy. They were immigrants to the U.S., and they were farmers, and they settled in Colorado. And John was interested in farming, and he was able to get a scholarship to Colorado State University to study agronomy. And so he got a B.S. there, and he found out that he had no ambition or plans to go to graduate school, but he found out that he could get a job as a research assistant if he went to graduate school. And he had good grades, and so he took advantage of that opportunity, and he went to the University of Illinois, and he studied under Arnold Clute there. And his decision to go to the University of Illinois was impacted in part by the department head there, who contacted John personally and invited him to come to the university. And that made an impact on him that he was really impressed that the department head would contact him. And so later on in his career, when he became a department head, he made it a point to talk to the graduate students individually and invite them to come to the university. He, after finishing his PhD at the University of Illinois, he went to UCLA. They had an irrigation and drainage department there. And unfortunately, they closed that department in 1961. And so he had a choice. He was either going to go to UC Davis or UC Riverside. And both had some attractive opportunities. Don Nielsen was at UC Davis, and so he was seriously considering going there, but he had interacted with Lou Stolze on oxygen diffusion, and he decided to go to UCR in 1961, and he stayed there for the remainder of his career. He served as a department chair, but also he was a leader in various UC institutions, the Kearney Foundation of Soil Science and the UC Center for Water Resources. And as part of the UC Center for Water Resources, he headed the UC Salinity Drainage Program. So I put the slide in here because the transitions that happened in the soil science department at UCR are challenges, I think, that we're all dealing with. When he came to UCR, it was a soil science department. It was the top department, arguably, in the world. And he championed an undergraduate program in environmental science while there. And he really laid the foundation for that there. And then in the 1980s, he became department chair, and they decided to change the name from soil science to soil and environmental science. And with the name change, they wanted to expand the expertise in the department and to offer new opportunities. They hired new faculty with a diversity of interests, not just the traditional agronomy-based expertise in typical soil science departments. And then in 1993, a change happened that John didn't like. This was quite disturbing to him. They lost the name soil science in the department, and it became an environmental science department. And with the dropping of soil science in the title, the number of graduate students in soil science decreased, and eventually they dropped the soil science major. And this disturbed him quite a bit, and he wondered how the department went from the top department in soil science to now a department that no longer offers soil science majors. And he made a presentation to the academic senate about this. And I put a quote from this presentation. He said, "Now the children have grown up and want to eat the parents." And I think that's a little bit of something to think about, that we can't lose our identity as a soil science group and as soil physicists. Now, John had a very productive career with over 300 technical publications. He worked with many people from across the world, a total of 187 co-authors from 11 different countries. And his philosophy was a little different than some of us. He said that he liked to explore a wide variety of topics. And he said that once he got into the topic, he found that the initial research always raised more questions than it answered. And he would go along this and then go study another topic. So you can see the wide range of topics that he covered in his career. And so what I will try to do here in the remaining portion of the presentation is just highlight on a few of these topics that he studied. One of them was soil water repellency and surfactants, and he had 47 publications on this topic starting from 1961. He said that this topic came up to him because people were trying to sell soil conditioners. And they asked him, well, do these conditioners really do anything? Do they really help? And so he, with examining these conditioners, he learned about soil water repellency and factors that cause that. And in particular, he was one of the first to identify the role of fire on creating soil water repellency. And he developed different measurement techniques to look at soil water repellency in the field. In particular, the water drop penetration time is typically used to assess soil water repellency in the field. And then he examined the effects of soil water repellency on flow and transport processes as well. Now, I didn't do work with John on that particular topic, but my interactions with John made me aware of the effect of soil water repellency. And so for my PhD and some of my postdoc work, I looked at the effect of soil wettability on DNAPL migration. And so I just show a couple of pictures here. It shows how if you have spatial variability and wettability in the soil, it can lead to dramatic different distributions of entrapped organic liquid. And this could potentially be used to your advantage in remediating contaminated site. What you see on the far right-hand side is the distribution after you inject a surfactant solution, something else John worked on, that mobilized the NAPL, and then the NAPL could be entrapped in the bottom layer that had a wettability alteration occurring. And we also did some work looking at numerical modeling of these type of processes as well. Now, another topic that John worked on extensively was on pesticide transport. And he had a total of 30 publications on that starting from 1962. And one of the issues that he investigated is the diffusion of pesticides, and both in the liquid and in the gas phase. And he was one of the first to recognize that pesticides can sorb at the air-water interface, and also looked at the effect of sorption on the diffusion process as well. He also looked out the maximum depth of penetration of pesticides and related that to the infiltration front, and looked at the effect of facilitated transport on pesticide transport as well. So here's one example on facilitated transport that was given to me by Clint Williams. And so John was one of the first to recognize that pesticides can sorb strongly to the colloidal fraction, but also to the dissolved organic matter fraction, and that can facilitate their transport at low concentration levels, but at significant depths in the soil. John also did extensive work on soil salinity with 34 publications since 1977. He looked at crop water production functions. He looked at the dynamics. He used various transient state models to look at the effect of salinity and irrigation management on crop yields and on managing salt-affected soils. And he looked at a variety of other issues that were associated with the Kesterson Reservoir in the San Joaquin Valley of California. They have drainage ponds because they have saline high water tables, and they put this saline water in drainage ponds, and it impacted the migratory bird population because there were high levels of selenium in this drainage water. And so this was a significant issue that John looked at as well. Just one quick example is the effect of irrigation management and using the saline shallow water tables in crop growth as a alternative water source. And so he did some numerical simulations with Grant Cardin and myself looking at these type of issues, and he demonstrated that these saline high water tables could also be used as an alternative water source that could help maintain higher yields. He also did extensive work on nitrogen cycle and nitrogen fertilizer efficiency with 30 publications starting from 1976. And he looked at innovative techniques for measurement of soil oxygen and nitrous oxide diffusion and loss. And he looked at modeling approaches for nitrate movement and leaching, and ways to manage nitrogen in manure. And so here's one example from Gary's work with John, in which he looked at relative yields when you apply a manure addition for a number of years here with corn and with fallow, and also looked at the nitrate leaching from these systems as well. So John also received many awards for his research and was highly respected in the community, but I think John would probably be embarrassed if we talked about the numerous awards that he received. And I think when all is said and done, the impact of someone's career isn't measured by their age index or their number of publications, but it's on the impact that it's had on individuals. And I think John had a huge impact on me. He's the reason why I got into soil physics. He was my master advisor, and I remember him extensively editing my first papers. He was a family friend. He was my softball coach and my basketball coach for a church team. But he also taught me many life lessons, and I really appreciate his generous and kind attitude and how he treated people. And I think that's the legacy that John would like us to remember, is what he did for people, and I think that's something for us all to think about. So thank you for your time and attention.